There we go. We do a breakfast for the men's ministry. So we take one Saturday, which is usually the third Saturday of the month or whatever Saturday we can grasp. And we take the time to invest in the men of the church or the community. Whoever's willing to show up and walk through those doors and eat a good food and then come in here and listen. I mean, that's all it generally takes, but it's the fact of distributing it outside those doors. So it's not what you get in here. It's what you take from in here and take it out those doors to everywhere else. It is the fact of trying to be a Christian man in a wicked world. That's part of the series. The series is called Man Up, and it has really been on my heart a lot the last year and a half. In fact, I wrote my dissertation on it. It is simply just investing in men because we have it rough. Not that women don't have it rough. You do. But men have a lot more responsibility. We have a lot of training for our children, especially the boys. You know, here lately, God's been doing a lot of work personally in my life to show me what I need to do. I have two boys and three girls, and He is showing me what I need to do to just invest in them separately, but together at the same time, try to balance it out. So it's been really good. So every month I take one character trait, and I glean it towards one male of the Bible, or I try to just give us an illustration, to give us an example of how we can apply it to our lives. Obviously, like I said before, this is a different month because, or it's different this month because it's co-ed, to help HBS Workday, which we do every single year around this time. This is a really good time for us to come together as a whole or a body to help make the church representable. I mean, the mulch outside, the stuff inside, it's just, yeah, it's all, what's the word I'm looking for? That's what I get for not writing stuff down. It's just to the eyes. You know, we're not going to take these light bulbs to heaven. We're not going to take the paint. It's just all cosmetic. But it's the fact that we look representable. It shows how we steward our building. That's how we steward our lives. This building shows just us showing up and just putting some mulch on the ground or taking a magic eraser and literally just wiping some walls down. But it shows how we take care of our building that we were blessed with. So with the time we have, which is very short, I do want to focus on the word companionship. If you want to turn your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Once again, like I told you, the last couple of months we've taken a single word, which is a character trait, and I've referred it to just a certain person of the Bible. And as we all know, that as Baptists, we like to keep our titles or our subjects in consistency with cool little letters. And so I've been stuck on this C thing for traits. So we went over communication the first month with Adam and Eve. We went over commitment with Abraham and Sarah last month. And then this month we have companionship. If you turn your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 4, companionship is defined as fellowship or association. When the word companionship is thrown around, some may revert to a relationship or a commitment to another person, which isn't false, but for this trait, it's going to collaborate with us as a church body, as a whole, in a one unit fit for battle. To better understand the differences between companionship and relationship, I want to read a quote that I found while doing some research. A relationship generally has more structure than companionship because it's based on a mutual commitment. In a relationship, both parties are committed to the well-being of the other and work to maintain that bond they share. So marriage is a good definition, obviously, of relationship. Or a boyfriend and girlfriend, you're getting to know the person more than anybody else outside of your home. The structure often means that certain rituals and behaviors are expected of each partner, which can provide a sense of stability and continuity. In addition, a relationship also has more structure because some expectations and obligations must be met for the relationship to work. The parties involved must communicate and compromise with each other to maintain the relationship. There's a lot more structure. There's a lot more time vested. Companionship, on the other hand, usually lacks this sense of obligation and is more casual or temporary. Friends can spend time together without expecting a lasting or deep relationship. This can make companionship more flexible and carefree, but also less stable. So we see the difference between the two. The relationship takes time. So in my mind, the way this works is if I go up and meet somebody new and shake their hand, that's companionship. That means you've just known this person. You just realized their first name, which you'll forget for a month. And you're learning to know that person. So everybody that I work with, our relationship didn't start out a relationship. It started out a companionship. Because I didn't know who they were, and I hadn't worked with them before. But as time goes on, that's when a relationship develops, just like our relationship with Christ. When you first get saved, it's not a relationship, it's a companionship. You're learning who Christ is. And in doing so, Christ will also help you learn with companionship who everybody else is in the church body. And that's really what I want to focus on today, not relationships. If you guys were there last week and we just had the marriage conference, or is that the weekend before? Whatever weekend, it was really good. It was really profitable. I encourage everybody to go every year that they can. But as I said before, I want to focus on companionship and how it profits His kingdom when we do it together, just like we are here today. To just put our hands to the ground and do, or our hands on something, and just labor for the church. So I want to read First Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9 through 10. It says, "Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up." That is, I strive every single month, especially for men, in the men's teaching, to focus on that. Because we will fall every single time, no matter who you are, male, female, dog, cat. You will fall spiritually, physically. It's going to happen, no matter what. And it's not up to you to pick yourself up alone. It's up to you, you know, like I told my dad on the other day on the phone, I talked to him. He had a whole conversation with me that was a half hour and didn't have to take a breath, didn't have to. He was just more encouraged. He's walking thousands of feet without even stopping. And he hasn't felt that in like 4 years. My dad lost his purpose. My dad lost his hope. He gave up because his body was failing him, but his mind failed him even faster. Because of that, he couldn't even have a conversation. He just quit talking to people because his conversation would last 3 words before he had to stop and take a breath on an oxygen tank. You lose hope, and you will fall. And there will be. And that's just one instance. That's not everybody's case. It could be something minor. It could be something huge like that. But it's the fact that my dad lost his purpose. My dad lost his hope. And then I was talking to him the other day on the phone. And it was really encouraging to hear his encouragement. It was encouraging to me as a son to hear that he found a purpose. In his mind, he found his purpose. His purpose was to get this done and accomplish everything he can to be there more for his kids and his grandkids, which he has not been. Like I said, I'm 34, so it's been at least 32 years. And it's just, that's the way our relationship is. But he has found his purpose, his second chance. And this is the time where I'm able to walk up beside him as a believer, not a Christian. I'm just a guy that loves Jesus, and I want to show him what that is. I want to show him that Christ can do so much more than doctors can. You know, yeah, he has a new set of lungs. Great. Use them to spread the gospel. Use them to do walks for charities like the Life Issues Walk. Do things that you couldn't do before because you have a purpose. He has a new purpose. Let's flip over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, please. So I mentioned that we do things together as a church, as a body. Like I said, we're here today. That's what this is all for. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul really breaks it down for us on how that's going to look. Now, this is a lengthy read, but it is a good read because it shows when we come together, all of us as a congregation. Could you imagine this whole room filled like it is on a Sunday morning with people here to help? That would be people coming together. And I'm not judging them for not being here. The people are busy. That's the way. It's a busy life. But it's the fact that when we come together with this kind of stuff, it's this companionship. It is us locking arms for the battle. And in doing so, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. It says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body." Members are of that body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. So just in two verses, I think I've heard one body three times. That is one whole, that is a whole, that is together, that Christ is, that is doing to this church building. It says, "For the body is not one member, but many." It says, "If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are all they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head of the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more than those members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another, and that whether one member suffer, and all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular." So I really wanted to concentrate just on verse 26 and 27, but I couldn't say that without the context of all the other verses that I read. We are one, like your body here. That you're sitting in, it might be broken. Of course, it's broken because we're not perfect. But you might have things wrong with it. Praise the Lord, Matt here just went. They had his last radiation treatment yesterday.
Thursday
had his last radiation treatment. That was how many total?
36.
This time, what about the time before? Like total in.
Well, that's all I've had. But
oh, okay.
In March, I had a prostatectomy, and they took my prostate out.
Okay, so they took his prostate out.
Back.
Cancer came back.
In December, then that's when I got the radiation treatment.
Okay. So, that's good. So he went through 36 treatments of radiation. I mean, that's huge. Our bodies are not perfect. That's the whole blessing of this, is because we are all one. I mean, we have imperfect bodies, but if you stayed up here, my arm can't, you know, there's certain things I can't do without my arms. I don't have any prosthetics, but if I take that prosthetic leg off, I can't do a lot with just one foot. But that's the point, is that when we all come together to do things, it's a functioning body. We function more. We function better. But verse 26, "And whether one member suffer and all members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it." Once again, suffering. We're going to do it, but we are going to do it together. And that's what I really try to focus on every single month. And I will continue to focus on this every single month until the series is over or until I die. One of the two. We were going to suffer. But we need to do it together. We don't have to. I don't have to do the things I do to try to reach out to people just to see what's going on. I get to. There's a huge mindset difference. I get to because Christ has really put it in my heart to invest in other men. Because we have it rough. It's really hard out there. But it's not as hard when we do it together. And that's the companionship, because you start out with companionship, but you end with relationship. You end with brotherhood. You know, Dave and I talk every single day, multiple times a day. I talk to him more than I talk to his wife. Or he talks to his wife. And I talk to him more than I talk to my own wife. Do I? But it's the fact of it didn't start out that way. It didn't even start out that way until we talked about doing this series. And then it just got rolled out with, we just kept talking about different things and different things. Next thing you know, I literally talk to him probably 4 or 5 times a day, at least multiple hours, because he drives and I drive. So that didn't start out that way. It started out as companionship. We started knowing each other here in the building, and then that relationship escalated outside of the building to where, I talked to him multiple times. But that's where companionship leads to when it's Christ-centered. We started because we were talking about this series, this breakfast. That's why it started. It was Christ-centered, and Christ turned it into the relationship that it is now. So if you're not a part of a church, obviously it looks like we're all part of a church, but if you're not, you can see the stress, or I can't stress to you how important that is, because if it wasn't for coming into this building, then you wouldn't have companionship, which leads to relationship. You stream it online, or you do you just come once a week, whatever else. At least you're walking into the building. You are exposing yourself to be, to start for Christ to use that companionship with somebody else. Acts 2:46-47 says, "And they, continuing daily with the accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praying God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Excuse me. So if you turn to Romans chapter 12. We're going to start with verse 1. It says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." That's the least we can do. Verse 2, it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." In verse 3 it says, "For I say through the grace given unto me, not to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according to God, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having the gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness." The church building would not function if Brian tried to do this himself. I mean, no offense to Brian. It just wouldn't work. Not saying that he's not capable, but he's not capable, so to speak. That is why we have a team of pastors. That is why we have a team of ministry leaders and people that volunteer underneath all of that. It's because it just functions together. God has established the structure for a purpose. Think back to 1 Corinthians 12. The arms and the eyes and the head. It is literally a body can't function without a brain. That shows us that we have to operate together as one to be a functioning church body. It gives us accountability for the day that one of us falls. Once again, I can't press it enough. It's going to happen. We're all human, and we have a free will, and there will be a day or days that we will fall. If I had time, I really would walk through the last 8 years. We've been here, a part of this church building, for 8 years. To show how important companionship truly is, because that's, once again, like I told you, that's where it starts. I did not know, we knew one couple walking into this church building 8 years ago. One couple. And now I can barely leave without having a conversation with 15 people, which is fantastic. I love it. I'm a chatty Cathy, as my wife would say. But I would illustrate how many times I have face planted to the ground due to my own stupidity, because that's the free will part, and how many times I have looked up and seen a true man of God waiting to help me back up without judgment. He is full of advice and a listening ear. He is willing, not required, That's the get to part. He is willing to help me up and continue pushing forward to fulfill my purpose as well as my family's. And my wife can tell you there's plenty of women that do the same thing. Not just men. This is to women too. There's plenty of women that do the exact same thing for her as they have for me. As well as my family's. I am not required to serve God or His kingdom. I could have went back to my old ways after my salvation. I've seen it happen many times. But I choose, once again, I choose to follow and love Christ because of what He did for me. His story, His testimony, His actions. I choose to do that for Him. I choose to establish a biblical structure in my home. I choose to invest Scripture into my family in hopes that it goes for generations. My kids will have kids, I'm sure. And I pray that this here will continue to go on and go on and go on. And I choose to follow Christ because everyone's eternity is more valuable than what Satan can offer me today. It is way more valuable than a nice car. God has blessed me with a nice home. Cars that we need, obviously, but it's not more than what we need. My house is more than what we... No, I can't say that because there's seven of us. But it's only a three-bedroom. But that was crazy talk. But we make it work. I mean, that's what He's blessed us with. We have a full basement that we can shove kids into eventually. Right now we have three kids in one and two of the twins in the other. So it's a little cramped. But you know what? It doesn't matter because He's blessed us with that home. It's better than an apartment. We used to live in a three-bedroom townhome, which was half the square footage. So that was fun, let me tell you that. But, you know, doing that in everyone's eternity, investing in people, investing in men, just simply he's saying, hey, you know, do you need something? Or just randomly, I like to go through the week. I usually try to squeeze in a Proverbs of the day. Whatever day of the month it is, there's 31 Proverbs for a reason. There's typically, you know, that goes up to 31 days in a month. So I just pick whatever day it is and I read that Proverbs. But I really enjoy sending out what God is showing me. Just something that's very encouraging to me. And I just, like 5 to 10 people, you know, men, I just like to send that text out. Just say, hey, you know, just send the verse, literally just send the scripture, and then just say, what do you need prayed for? It's just simple prayer, you know, and there's been a lot of really good feedback on it that people are going through during that time, but it's just accountability. It's just the fact of being there without knowing that I really need to be there. It's just God, whoever God puts on my heart for that day, I just send the scripture. And there's been a lot of times where I will catch somebody smack dab in the middle of something really rough, and they don't know what to do. And it just happens to be coincidence that I text them with scripture and ask them how that could pray. It's not coincidence. That is God using this ministry, that is God using this time in this church to really invest in one another of men. So to wrap it up, let me ask you a simple question. What are you choosing to do with your time here on earth? Today you chose to wake up and come to have breakfast. Fantastic. That is great. And by the way, thank you to Jim and David for the food, and Shannon for the bakes, and Franny for the cinnamon rolls. There's been a lot of people pushing towards that, and that's fantastic. If your wives feel led to help with food every month, without showing up to cook it, then just send it with you, and we will take it. That is fantastic. That helps out. But they come have breakfast and then possibly feel obligated to help with the work going on in the building. But what about when you leave here? Like, that's where it really starts. Before you come back tomorrow, you leave here today, you have that, let's say you have a 12-hour, 15-hour window. What are you going to do with it? What choices are you going to make then? I ask myself the same question every day. I wake up and go to work. I wonder why I'm doing what I'm doing. I pray on my way to work. I talk to David in the truck a lot. While I'm at work and I say stupid stuff, I wonder, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? And it's the answer is different every day. Because I don't know why I'm here. I don't know my bigger purpose. It could be to do this. It could be to do something. I have no idea. I really don't. But I continue to pray for that. But I know at least 10 or more gentlemen that I can text or call to help me through the rough patch. Those stupid times that I have stupid, idiotic moments at work. Or I just have really something rough going on. I know at least 10 or more people that I can call on or text. And just say, hey, this is what I have going on. I need some prayer pretty quick. At least 10 or more gentlemen that will pray with me on the spot. I call them up and be like, hey, this is what I have going on. I don't know what to do. I don't know what the outcome is, but I just need prayer. It's just that one other person, or I guess I can make a conference call, but that's a little more difficult. But 10 or more gentlemen that will always have my back with whatever I have going on. It is somebody in my corner. It is somebody that's willing to fight, not for me, somebody to fight with me. It's the fact that, you know, it's like two boxers in a ring, but they're not boxing each other. They're boxing everything outside the ring. They're working together. It's not somebody fighting for me. It's what I have my wife for. But I wouldn't have those gentlemen if it wasn't for Brian realizing that he cannot do this thing on his own. It's not him walking in this church every single day and just carrying the weight and doing all of the things this church needs to be beautiful in terms, or even to function. It's not Brian doing it on his own. He's not teaching each kid's class individually and then coming in here and teaching all the people. It's the church coming together to teach, to help him, to take the load off of his shoulders. That way he can focus on the bigger picture of people that are lost, people that need that attention. And, you know, like I tell my kids every single day, I have, you know, he's the oldest. He'll be 12 this year, right? Yeah. And then the girls will be 3 in April. So there's a huge, you know, we got a 6-year-old and then a 5-year-old girl. There's a window there, but the girls, at a little bit, not as much now than they used to, but they needed our attention. There was things that they can't, and there's still things that they can't change their own diaper, you know. So they need us to give them that attention because that's the part of training. Don't take this the wrong way. He doesn't need my attention with certain things as much. There is times where, you know, there's conversations or certain things going on that he needs my attention as a father, or, you know, his mom's attention. But it's not like the girls. This is more of a mental communication need. The girls is more physical and mental and training. There's a lot more investing. And he was that way at one point too. But it's hard to get them to understand that. Now, which I fully get. There are some conversations where, you know, there's some times where my kids will deliberately get in trouble just to have that attention. And I get it. I really do. There's, you know, when you're having a lot of kids in a household, you have to try to balance that attention. And I would spend 24 hours just trying to balance the attention of all of them. But it's the fact of needing compared to wanting. But just always know that you're not going to be able to do it on your own. You know, your wife, your marriage, your anything and everything. There will be a time that you need some companionship. There will be a time that you need to rely on a fellow relationship with a brother. There will be a time. You will face that time. And just know, like I say it every month, my number and name is written on that board in there. Feel free to call me, text me. That's fine. Any time of the day, because there will be a time that will happen. And, you know, you can't take it to your wife, or, you know, I'm not advising you don't take it to your wife. But if something's going on between you and your wife, you have no one to run to, there will be a time. And it's really important for us as men of this church to just stand firm and help people with accountability, to help people with prayer requests, to help people just be like Christ, to be the image of Christ. So before I pray and we go to Steve comes up here to give us a kind of a layout of what's going to go on today, I just want to ask you to please meditate or consider who is in your corner. Who are you choosing to follow, and how is that profitable to his kingdom? Who is your companionship with, you know, to develop relationship? And also just pray for a Bible-believing church. If you're not a part of one, looks like everybody in here is a part of one. But just pray for this church, even though you're a part of it. Pray for it to attend or to just pray for guidance. You know, this church has a lot of going on in events-wise, especially next month. This place is going to be a madhouse the whole month. But more importantly, also pray just for your personal relationship with Christ. That is a relationship. That's not, don't make it a companionship. Make it more. Make it an actual relationship. Make it have stability. So I will pray real quick, and then Steve can come up here. Thank you, Lord, for today. Just thank you for just this time. Even though it was a short window, Lord, I tried to squeeze a lot in, but it's to me, it's very impactful just doing this teaching, because, you know, there is a lot of relationships that I find to be companion, you know, companionships, Lord, and I just pray that those grow to relationships. Me and my dad have a companionship, Lord, and I pray for us to have a true relationship, but it starts with me focusing on you and building that relationship with you so you can establish all of that, Lord, and you can take care of all that. I just pray that we can all glean from it. I pray that you prepare our bodies and our minds to walk through these doors and out of these doors to just help make your church look great that you have blessed us with. But it's the fact of afterwards, I pray that you just help us to glean on how to apply these things in our life before we come back to church tomorrow, or just any time this week that we run into a problem, Lord. It's just accountability and it's just companionship, Lord. And I just pray that you continue to bless us and just look over us as we do some work today, Lord. And I love you. Amen.